Good afternoon. This is Barb Pellow, Group Director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us today for our webinar titled A New Vernacular from Web to Print to Marketing Supply Chain Optimization. You know, marketers are spending billions of dollars producing, warehousing, and shipping marketing literature, packaging, documentation, point-of-sale displays, premiums, giveaways, signage, and handouts for all channels of marketing contact and engagement. The level at which this portion of marketing operations is managed and controlled can really materially impact go-to-market effectiveness, as well as the optimal use of marketing dollars in creating business value and giving you that competitive advantage. In this session, what you're going to do is you're going to hear from service providers and how they're transforming their value proposition from web to print to marketing supply chain optimization. We're also going to talk about the infrastructure that's being developed to participate in marketing supply chain management, the associated return on investment for both your business as well as your customers, and you'll hear some recommendations from our speakers in terms of how you should go to market. Now, today I'm delighted to be joined by two experts that know a lot about marketing supply chain optimization. The first is Chris Petro, and Chris is the president of Global Soft Digital. And the second is April DeRosset, and April is the president and CEO of Digital Connect Solutions. Before we get started, what I would like to do is just give you a few tips for enjoying the webinar today. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, all you have to do is let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. If you've got questions for today's speakers, and by the way, we'll be taking them throughout the webinar, submit them via the Q&A box. Please make sure you disable pop-up blockers. And to see what this console can do, click on the Tips for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now, what we're going to be doing is I'm going to spend just a few minutes talking about the keys for optimizing the marketing supply chain. And then you're going to hear and get good advice from Chris and April about how to implement marketing supply chain optimizations. I'll wrap up with a few recommendations and conclusions, and again, we'll be taking your questions throughout the webinar. Now, when you think about marketing supply chain management, the fundamentals really apply. It doesn't make any difference what your functional responsibilities are. Companies are designed, built, and staffed at a time and for reasons that are not as valid as the business has evolved. The original organization configuration often doesn't work as effectively and efficiently for the resources expended. And technology today can be used as a tool to try and make these legacy systems endure. However, businesses need to change, and it's really important for growth, profitability, and sustainability. And what Peter Drucker said is that all organizations need a discipline that makes them face reality. And that really applies to the concept associated with marketing supply chain management. It's a discipline that Drucker believed in. And basically what he said is that you need to assess how you're doing things to optimize value to your customers, shareholders, and employees. As you look at the marketing supply chain, the collaterals, the support material, the requirements to enhance the brand, reduce waste, and ultimately reallocate marketing funds, it says that I've got to do a great job at managing that marketing supply chain. When we look at the definition of a marketing supply chain, it sounds simple. The marketing supply chain is that chain of suppliers that an organization relies on to produce marketing materials, whether it's print, promotional products, or point of sale, to market their products and services. The challenge inside of this is that it's not as simple as it appears. And in fact, in a lot of instances, chaos rules. In many companies today, the marketing supply chain is comprised of a number of partners, both inside and outside the organization. It can include brand managers, marketing services, agencies, direct sales teams, buyers, printers, fulfillment houses, and the list goes on. And they're all interconnected through complex relationships, and there's little or no measurement in efficiency. Let me say that again. There is little or no measurement in efficiency. And what that means is the current state is chaos. Now, you need to think about why that's important. Marketers are spending billions of dollars producing, warehousing, shipping, marketing literature, packaging, documentation, premiums, giveaways, signage, handouts for all channels of marketing contact. And how well that marketing operations supply chain is managed and controlled can materially impact go-to-market effectiveness as well as how you're using those marketing dollars. While investment in traditional marketing channels has been decreasing over the past few years, marketing consumables still make up a significant portion of that overall marketing mix. According to a recent Chief Marketing Officer Council study on the marketing supply chain, 30% of marketers surveyed spent between 20 and 30% of their budget on marketing materials. Print collaterals topped that list. And the problem is that that marketing supply chain is broken. When you talk to those chief marketing executives, 78% have a closet or a warehouse full of old materials. 84% said that sometimes they're sending outdated marketing materials because of a slow or inaccurate supply chain. 33% had no form of inventory management. And 55% didn't have any access to real-time inventory data or utilization efforts. The net was that obsolescence soared, and there's a lack of understanding of the true state of marketing supply chain that's led to this epidemic in waste and obsolescence. And when you look at this chart, what you're seeing is that 23% of those surveyed, when the question was asked, thinking of the marketing materials you receive, what percentage is often seldom used, stored for later, or thrown out? 23% said that more than 50% was thrown out. Now, the next thing is that there's a lot of opportunity. There's an opportunity for your salespeople, field, in-store, and channel partners, and they want to see improvement in that marketing supply chain. And what they want is that marketer to think much more strategically about operations. And that salesperson, that marketer, wants timely delivery and access to content. They want to make sure that the content that they're getting is fresh and up to date. They want to make sure that they have the ability to customize it to meet their specific needs, that it's consistent with branding and product information. Those are the kinds of things that people are looking for. And so it's time to change. Marketers need a partner that can help them improve performance, optimize spend, measure performance of offline and online content, and consumable. When you look at what the enemies are, material obsolescence is at the top of the list. In a lot of instances, there's rampant overordering and stockpiling of materials. There's demand for that fresh content. There's drive to improve materials ordering and usage. Obsolescence creates environmental issues. And so the answer is the ability to move to web-enabled, just-in-time digital print strategies. The other piece you want to make sure that you're doing a good job at as you look at that inventory of materials is the brand. There's nothing more important than preservation of that marketer's brand. It's got to be consistent. You've got to be able to control and protect that brand across multiple satellite offices and locations. You've got to make sure that you've got and you've eliminated unauthorized marketing material creation so that you've got compliance in terms of both content as well as information. And so those are the kinds of things that are absolutely essential as you look at controlling the brand. The other piece is you want a clear picture, if you're a marketing executive, of what materials have value and what don't. And you want to be able to see which marketing assets are available by sales stage, product keyword. You want to be able to understand when marketing assets are being used in the buy cycle. You want to look at current and future development strategies based on what salespeople are, in fact, actually using. And you really want to gain an overall better understanding of the health of your marketing program. And so that marketing executive today wants to focus on optimizing investments. He wants to make sure that he's not wasting money on inventory that's obsolescing. He wants to ensure that effort equals results. and that the materials he's producing are in fact used by salespeople. He wants to maintain brand consistency. And the net of it is, as you listen to Chris and April, they want an expert that can in fact actually help them. And so what it means is a stronger supply chain. It means unified ordering. It means cost savings, better inventory control, brand control, time to market, consistency, and ultimately for that marketing executive in that corporation that you're working with, improved sales. Now, I've kind of tried to lay the framework for why it's so important, but what I want to do now is turn it over to our experts who can share with you their perspectives on the importance of a better marketing supply chain. And so with that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Chris Petro. Chris is the president and CEO, and I'll let him tell you about GlobalSoft Digital Solutions, but they're both a U.S. and an international company. And so, Chris, take it away.
Thanks, Barb, and good afternoon, everybody, wherever you may be around the world. I'm honored to be on this call today only because I think this is something that's relative to our industry as a whole, but most importantly, what we deal with on the client side. So what I wanted to start out with is just give a little overview of our organization to give a little, hopefully a little bit of credibility of my input, and then I'll move into what we see on our side, both here and in May, on some of the changes relevant to, you know, marketing supply chain management and the integration of the PSP today in that role. So first I'll talk a little bit about GlobalSoft Digital Solutions and GlobalSoft International. I promise I'll be brief. Our company is 100% digital. We always have been. We're about a 10-year-old company with facilities both here and in France. And we typically have output anywhere from 79 to 86% on the dynamic side. So we really play to the marketers that want to have ongoing relationships with either their channels or their end users, or in some cases their own internal operations. We tend to vertically focus on healthcare, auto, and financial, although that's changing every day. And we look for companies that kind of embrace dynamic output for value for their own customer or to patient to communication directives or direct to retail customer engagement or anyone that really gets the value of how to have ongoing relationships with them. We obviously rely on a lot of heavy integration workflow tools, of which I think you'll hear a little bit about later on. And we tend to focus on application-specific engagements where marketing supply chain is becoming more and more a process more than it is a product, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Our facilities are HIPAA and SEC compliant. We're very strict on personal, you know, data and integration, and we're working currently to get data into the EU. So enough of that boring stuff. Our current facilities are on the East Coast in the United States, and we service 23 countries in 18 languages out of our facility in Poussignon, France, which is EMEA. So what I wanted to talk about, first of all, everything that Barb is touching on, I don't think is new to all of us. But what I think is starting to happen in the industry is the convergence of not only web-to-print portals and advertising specialties, or what we like to call web-based applications, but the value of those together in a supply chain as we as printers or digital marketers start to present and integrate our accounts. And one of the things that I'd like to bring to the table in this conversation is it's almost move or get out of the way or be lost, like we had the convergence of digital technology a few years ago where it really made a dominant footprint in our marketplace. Today, the supply chain management tool that goes to these clients really is a do or die for a lot of us, and I'll touch a little bit about that. So from our experience set on the revenue, supply chain revenues, these web-enabled solutions often facilitate print growth, and they often don't start there. So one message that our organization likes to share is that we don't always start with digital print or digital print solution sets, but we kind of talk to the CMO who's got a lifespan of 11 months or less and ask her what goals she has to improve channel communications and how we can use supply chain management to bring those together and offer value to her. So, you know, we talked about, or Barb talked about earlier, a little bit about brand compliance. She talked about obsolescence, time to market. Those issues are not new to us. I'd like to add compliance to that because I think in compliant regulatory kind of marketplaces like healthcare or wealth management, there is a big need for supply chain management because it helps integrate their process. And really what starts to happen is you as a supply chain provider that brings all of these tools together, whether it's print whether it's advertising specialties, whether it's point-of-sale materials, banners, wide format, whatever it happens to be, you're a little more educated in how we can tie those together. But more importantly, you become an integral part of their operation for reporting purposes, management purposes, and the values that add there. So we like to get involved at those levels because obviously they drive key marketing initiatives within our client base, like retention of clients or how we survey their clients or product expansion or growth or penetration. And one of the biggest areas that lend itself to supply management, obviously, is loyalty or new kit programs. Obviously, the economy and the resource shrinkage that the corporations of today are dealing with and the marketing organizations, where they have to focus on the voice of the customer and they have to penetrate and they're responsible for delivering revenue or if they're moving on, this kind of supply chain management is a quick solution set, and I don't mean quick from the deployment perspective, but I mean quick from the engagement perspective to look at where the value is and how we help them. And obviously, in every case, and I'm going to touch a little bit about this later because this, too, is having less value, you disable the competition. More and more people are offering web-to-print solutions. I think the marketplace is saturated with the tools that are available there. But when you start to talk about the management of the supply chain, it's really where you can disable your competition and where you can add some more value.
Hey, Chris, I got a quick question for you from somebody in the audience.
Yes.
And they saw that, disable competition. The question that came in, Chris, is once you get a client locked into working with you on marketing supply chain, have you ever lost them?
The answer is yes. And the other side of that is I can give a little insight. I've also won some because someone that was seated in there with what they thought was a web-to-print solution that kind of solidified them. And the message there is that's a quick validation point of how marketing chain management is so critical to these things. You can't just have a web-to-print solution that delivers, for example, printed marketing materials or even HTML emails. You really need to look at areas that you don't feel so comfortable in because again, the proverbial wolf is always at the door, and in some cases, that was our learning perspective, that we thought we were solid. We controlled the assets of this individual client. We had a pretty slick web-to-print program that had, 85% variable integration, and then we lost the deal because of someone that had trade show support services that we didn't necessarily offer. Well, I can tell you our organization is now pretty much an expert in that area. So, that question kind of validates exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
So,
thanks, Chris.
Sure, no problem. So some of the digital supply chain examples that I like to share, and clearly they're not limited to this, and this list grows all the time, but here's some quick hits that we found some excitement and some talk points when you start to engage CMOs or brand managers or anyone that's responsible for bringing rubber or hits the road in the sales organization is client loyalty programs. The old adage of it's easier to keep a customer than it is to go out and get a new one. Our perspective is it's a requirement for the marketing people to make sure that their clients and local programs are brand adherent, they're fresh, they're relevant, they're succinct, they go right to the message, and we consider ourselves an arm to help those customers engage their customers. Channel and distribution fulfillment, when Barb was talking earlier, one of the things that struck me immediately was, she talked about brand, but if you're out there and you're selling marketing supply chain engagements, you have to talk up to the people that have channel distribution. They are home runs because these folks are looking to distinguish themselves against other channel people that are selling other similar products. And digital technology and digital output and supply chain management are a natural integration and natural supply chain manager for those kind of products. So love to hear that. Corporate identity standards and brand adherence. Again, the world is flat. Barb talked about that and how relevant that is to today's marketer. But what you have seen in the past is a bunch of little portals all over a national account that might be worldwide, and the assets were always managed through digital asset management programs, but they weren't necessarily deployed properly on the output side, whether it was electronic output or print output. Obviously, when you get to a web-to-print or some sort of web-enabled solution set that manages the process, you're coming in with a little more horsepower than just someone who's buying print, but someone who's responsible for marketing. And the adherence and the brand, identities and corporate identity standards are there. Obviously, the technology exists today, which is another great starting point for some of these people to create online info kits, welcome kits, or meeting kits. As a matter of fact, Barb asked me to be very specific on a demo or a slide shot of one of the sites we have, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. I'll talk to the value there. So you really want to question yourself, where do they add value, or where do these portals add value to your individual clients? First of all, you know, it's no coincidence that Barb spent some time talking about brand, and I put it at the top of my list. I think digital technology overall helps with brand adherence. How it's deployed helps even further. So it's not so much about what you print, but the process of getting that print out and making sure that corporate identity standards are met and the client's objectives. What we're starting to see is the crossroads of multimedia, and this is where you need a little bit more expertise. When you deliver a web-to-print program, you're a great solution provider. But when you have a marketing portal that offers supply chain management, you're starting to deliver areas of electronic communications. You're starting to talk about voice of customer interactions for mobile media, SMS distribution. So all of this kind of stuff starts to build up, and you put yourself in a position to be a much more valuable player in their supply chain. It's the old adage of, you know, he who controls the assets or he who controls the customer. You're really helping them manage the entire process of delivery of marketing materials. You know, we're starting to see, you know, many of us were educated that marketing was marketing and sales was sales. But what you're starting to see with shrinkage in resources, certainly on the East Coast and in EMEA, is that the sales organization is becoming less and less responsible for the tools to just sell the marketing input. And marketing is becoming much more active in the sales process, to some points where we have seen some segmented marketing teams actually be deliverable and responsibility for the deliverables of sales. So obviously you want to be in that position and you want to offer that to your client. And, of course, anytime you can consolidate or solidify a chain, whether it's for obsolescence of materials, whether it's for channel distribution and brand identity, whether it's for compliance of legal issues or traceability of that, or the management reports that come from supply chain management, that's a synergy that you're offering that CMO, and she's very interested in understanding how those dollars can be used.
Hey, Chris, I have a quick question for you that just came in from one of our participants.
Sure.
You know, you're obviously doing a great job at building out the portal, at managing inventory. And what somebody asked was, what does the business model look like? What percent of, when you look at a project, what percent of the fees are for professional development? What percent are for data management? What percent are for inventory management? And could you just kind of give us a picture if I've got a new project coming in of how that pie gets allocated?
Yeah, I can try because each one is different.
Right.
What a great question. I think too many of the people in our industry give this stuff away, and I actually was on another webinar where we talked just about that topic. That's a multi-hour topic. But our experience said is if you don't start to charge for those things up front, the engagement, the participation, or the level of really support becomes extremely diluted. So there is, again, print is print. We all know what the dollars are there. But I will tell you that some of these programs will develop print areas that you haven't traditionally seen. So there's typically a fee for the consultation of this in the beginning, which is something that's very strange for all of us. You don't want to charge a customer, but sometimes you have to do a 2-3-4-day survey to understand all of the operations, all of the channels, and all of the goals, almost a framework or a wireframe of where they stand. So there's a fee for that. The technology piece typically, depending on how engaged the deployment, can be 10 to 15% of the overall program at the end of the year. One of the things that the question didn't ask is really what does the support vehicle look like, right? So many of these supply chain management tools are heavy on the support side. So we've seen monthly fees that are pretty as low as $500, as high as $50,000 to $60,000 on a monthly basis because we're committing a bank of support people or separate microsites that might have support vehicles, 1-800 numbers, inbound phone calls. So you really have to open your eyes and look at it. There's a lot of revenue. But, you know, if I had to categorize the two buckets, I'd say 30% often comes from print, 70% might be from all other or value-added.
Okay.
Hope that answers the question.
One other just quick question on that, Chris.
Yep.
How are you staffed? How are you staffed to support these type of client engagements? And so, I mean, how many IT people do you have, customer service people? Can you give kind of a mix of your staff in terms of how many people you have doing the relative functions?
Absolutely. Yeah, so when we started this web to print, we started with print ASP, which is a great solution, but shortly you become handcuffed on what you can offer the value for the customer. And I think as the market it changed, you know, we had a whole bunch of eye-opening experience. So we went to our own development tool through Bitstream. So on site we have four developers that just develop websites all the time, microsites, demo sites. They work very closely with our sales and marketing initiatives. And they're constantly doing changes. For us, that's a six-day-a-week, three-shift-a-day proposition. So there is some investment in there. We have also made some investment in the network management, which is something that was kind of foreign to us. So, you know, one consultant and one full-time person running that operation for us. And then our customer service department, about 2 years ago, we went to the old GE model where we took away from customer service people per se, and when it's what we call program management or client management. And these guys are kind of a couple steps under the salespeople, a couple of steps above a typical customer service person, and engage the client and responsible for reporting and back-end administration tools, and really have helped us develop further penetration with our account. That team for us is about seven deep, and okay, that grows based on the clients that we deal with.
Great. Thanks, Chris.
Sure. So other benefits, you know, so if you wanted to talk about what the benefit is to us as these providers, you know, number one, to me, the digital print market has always been one of adoption to everyone else and kind of what's going on around us and the leaders there. So I think, you know, supply chain portals and supply chain management really is an adoption to kind of what's going on in the marketplace. For me, it's very positive to be closer to the revenue developer. I mean, you're talking to not purchasing, you're not talking to IT, you're not really even just talking to someone that manages administration or office operations. You're dealing with the person that's responsible for delivering revenue to their company, the person that's responsible for the brand, the person that's responsible for having interpersonal communications with their clients. Intrinsically, I think that makes you much more of a valuable consultant to them, and quite honestly, I think that's where we all want to be. Along the same vein, it makes you relevant as a partner as opposed to someone that's just providing stuff, product, no matter how slick your operation. You know, we made that mistake of thinking we had a very slick, you know, portal that allowed our clients to variably integrate for their channel, and then we got ousted by a trade show supplier, which, you know, was a smack in the face. Legal compliance, I can't stress it enough. For those of you out there that are dealing in, you know, the medical or healthcare services field or any of the, you know, the financial organizations, really the supply chain management is not only the delivery of those products, but who you delivered it to, how do you make sure using digital technology that you're legally compliant in the communication that the customer does. So now you're dealing with people that don't even really look at you as a printer, but they're looking at you as someone that's an extension of their own compliance or internal operations. And obviously there's a big amount of customer loyalty there. So let me show you just one of our portals. It's, and I like to call this not your average web to print. And I hate the word web to print, and Barb knows this. I like to use the word web enabled. But this is an actual, you know, microsite that we have engaged with our client. And on this one site, if you look to the far left, you'll see the supply chain options that include not only sales support, but point of sale materials, client loyalty, mailings, and engagement. End-to-end invites, this is for a wealth management company that actually puts on seminars and they invite them to talk about relevant topics like 401, college planning, whatever it happens to be. There's also an HTML initiative that they can actually go in and interactively upload databases for their individual folks. And then there's advertising specialties that are tied in. So the sales process for this particular engagement went across probably 6 to 8 months, but probably 8 or 10 different divisions and separate initiatives within the customer. Now, I'm going to talk real brief because I'm getting close to my ending time here in a few seconds about really the amount of portals and the amount of initiatives, I think, is a huge petri dish of opportunity for those of us that can wrangle those together and frame the solution set to the client as a supply chain management tool as opposed to a web to front tool. The next slide I have just shows where marketing meets process, right? So first and foremost, we're an international company, but the world is flat. I don't know how many people have read that book, but marketing supply chain should be boundless. It's not geographically tied. It shouldn't be product tied. It should be something that offers value to the customer, period. this is something that resonates pretty big in my organization, and I pound this into the head of our sales organization, that process value is much more important than product value. How the customer engages you and the tools that you give and the process associated with supply chain management on the marketing end is much more important than the actual products you're delivering. If you go in thinking that your product is of super value, you will be outsold by somebody else, again, in our experience. And the voice and the analysis of the client need always drives the solution. And as I mentioned earlier, yes, that's a, you know, that's a revenue base. So what's the future roles of marketing supply chain? From my perspective, it should be part of every sales interaction. I mean, we might have the luxury now as PSPs to not really engage there, but that luxury is waning pretty quickly. And I can guarantee if you're not talking about it, I probably am, or somebody else. You've gone from a player or no player, and you're really looking at an opportunity loss versus an opportunity gain. And the message I want to give there is, from our perspective, you're not looking at gaining opportunities necessarily by engaging them for marketing supply chain. As Barb, you know, aptly put it before, you might lose some opportunities because you don't offer these services and you don't look at that perspective. Of course, that gives you an upgraded status. You know, there's lots of different revenue streams that you couldn't imagine. You know, we don't really have time to talk about them now. And then I would tell you, look at this as also an opportunity to do some standalone revenue. We have some supply chain engagements that are completely electronic, deliver no products, and I'm going to tell you they're extremely profitable and there's some high dollars. And obviously this kind of stuff adds a ton of value to you as a supplier. So what's some of my recommendations? Obviously you need to educate yourself. I know it stinks being in this business for a while and, you know, how many times we have to re-educate ourselves. You have to do research, make sure all the bases are covered. Both on the technology side and the sales support side, the tools you have on hand, always set realistic expectations with the client, and a lot of that goes through the research that you've done. You need to keep up with the market every single day. I mean, there's new impact, and talk to your customers, see what's valuable to them, what they're looking for. Another thing that I threw in there is, you know, you need some developers to help you do this, to be responsive. You need to look at more manufacturing automation in your process and tie that into the solution sets that you deliver. And we found a pretty cool tool, something that really works well for us when you start to engage these people at the highest level, is really some case studies or some explanations of value that you might have already delivered. That's it, Barb.
Chris, I have one last question before I turn it over to April.
Yes, ma'am.
And it really links to implementation. These systems are obviously very complex.
Yes.
How do you make sure that you're not spending money in terms of the implementation process when the customer is continually evolving the specs? Do you put together a good statement of work? What do you do up front to make sure that you aren't a victim of feature creep?
Yeah, that's an outstanding question. So in our organization, we have an implementation team. We have two implementation specialists that have nothing to do with production and nothing to do with sales. So these guys are the wireframers or the solution set providers or the expectation set levelers up front that have no ties in. So I would tell you, go get one of those folks pretty quickly. But you do need to talk, again, we do a lot of voice of customer or initial analysis, you know, consultation, and that will deliver a wireframe of expectations and talk to the client exactly what they want to do and then map that out in a statement of work. So every engagement that we have as an organization that involves a web portal has a statement of work and a contract associated with it. If you don't, you're really playing Russian roulette, and you're kind of defeating the purpose because the customer's expectations are not in line with what you're producing, and that's a recipe for failure. It's like being out after midnight with your kids. Nothing good happens there. So, you know, I think you got to set the expectations. You have to put it down on paper. You have to list a statement of work, and you have to treat yourself like a consultant.
Okay. Well, Chris, thanks, and we'll take some more questions at the end of the session. But now what I'm going to do is give you a little different perspective, and I'm going to have it turn over to April DeRossett, who's president and CEO of Direct Connect Solutions. She's going to share with you their approach on market supply chain optimization. April, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is April DeRossett. I'm the president and CEO of Direct Connect Solutions. We're located in Nashville, Tennessee. We are actually a full-service marketing agency. We specialize in predictive analytics, and we deal specifically with customer lifecycle management. We've been working in the health and wellness space for over a decade by helping our clients deliver their message to patients and members while focusing on maintaining security and PHI. Basically, we help our clients identify their customer base. We focus on the most likely responders by providing key performance indicators, and we measure and track success. So we approach marketing from a programmatic perspective. So now you're probably at this point wondering, how does this come into play with web to print, especially with a company like mine? Well, to answer this question, let me give you a little background on our company history. We started off in 1983. My predecessor and the founder of our company, Ann Mitchell, she started in her garage a quick print process. She was working for a large government entity in Nashville, and she decided that she could do this. So she started a quick print company, and by the 90s, she had decided that she would be adding mailing services. And by the late 90s, she brought on three programmers to train them to understand print. I was one of those programmers that she brought on. My background is in programming. I'm an application developer, and I have a background in database management and analytics. And right about 2000, she made a decision to splinter off her company and open some new divisions. And by 2005, we had become a separate division. Direct Connect Solutions became separate from CBS Printing and Mailing, and we were a full-service marketing and data analytics division that I ran. By 2010, Anna decided it was time to retire. She wanted to spend her days in Florida, and so she closed out Customized Business Service in the printing and mailing facilities, and I purchased the marketing wing of the company since I had been running it for so many years, and that brings us to where we are now. We built our web-to-print platform ourselves in 2006. That was just a burgeoning idea among printers at that time, and Anne wanted to be able to support her printing function with a web-to-print solution, but we had some very specific requirements that we needed. We needed inventory management, we needed to handle variability, and we needed asset management systems so that we could support our customers. Well, interestingly enough, the print division was not successful in executing web-to-print for their customers. We had this great system, and we were supporting it, but the printing side of our company, the sister company, couldn't find a way to make it happen. And we were all over it. We wanted to have it as part of our marketing services because we worked closely with other marketing and internal marketing departments. And what we found was marketers needed a way to manage the marketing products that they had, and they wanted to be able to enforce their brand rules in a way that would be embraced by their internal departments. So we brought the web to print over to our side of the business, and we began using it to support our marketing customers. Something that I was really glad that Chris talked about was charging for this type of, and I know this is not the focus of this session, but I'd like everyone to consider that this is an important thing to charge for. The value that the customer perceives is in how you present it to them. We clearly charge for this, and we also tried very hard to make sure that we define the goals and expectations on the front end so that we have a successful process when we start. Well, what we found was it was so successful, we weren't doing any of the supplying, but we were managing the products that the marketers were developing, and we were helping to develop, and we were hooking the system to many different print specialists and print partners all over the United States in order to provide our marketing partners with the printed products and to be able to manage the inventory on them. Well, what happened was these printers that we were working with came to us and said, you know, we would love to have something like this internally. So what we found was, and this is a very small part of our business, but we do provide this web-to-print solution to printers who purchase it from us. We manage it for them, and we provide a storefront that hooks to them, and they're able to turn around and supply to their their customers. So our customers, which are small, medium-sized printers, have been able to provide a dynamic, interactive storefront to their customers. We go in and we train them on how to sell it to their customers and what that looks like, and we're able to track on the back end. Being a marketer, we're all about being able to measure anything, so we're able to help them measure the success of, you know, from an order perspective, what's the return on that investment, and specifically, how can they manage their inventories in a way that makes sense? They're not having rush fees, and they're not having obsolescence. So today I'm going to present two scenarios for storefront applications where we were able to help improve the marketing supply chain. Now keep in mind, we use Web2Print as a tool. The solution is the process that you're providing as a partner, and that makes the process of brand and management infallible and invaluable. So keeping in mind that the tool, whatever tool you use, it's the process that you're bringing to the table that makes the most sense. So in case one, this case is actually one of our customers. We were working with a large Medicare insurance provider, and the situation, I'm going to outline these cases as situations and solutions and results so that it breaks down clearly how we were able to bring value through using this storefront tool to our clients. Because CMS rules, a company in the Medicare space are unable to sell year-round. They generally have an open enrollment process during October to January, somewhere in there. There are some rules that allow them to extend into March and April. But it's very important to their sales process that all of their sales materials are available, defined, approved, and where they can get their hands on them during that short time period, because it is such an abbreviated time. This company had over 300 sales professionals in the field, and they were over a 10-state region. Let me take a step back and just talk really quick about legal compliance. When you work with CMS, as many of you probably know, if you're in the health and wellness space, you don't get to change and modify your marketing materials. They have to go to CMS, and they have to be approved line by line. CMS comes back with, you know, they redline them, and they come back. It's a huge ordeal in order to get approval on a product that you're going to take to the marketplace. So once that approval is in place, it is extremely important that nothing is changed. And so having an online asset management or a storefront tool that allows it to remain unchanged in a place that can be ordered repetitively is really important for a company from a legal compliance perspective. And believe me, I've been through CMS audits. You don't want to do anything that's going to provoke that. So back to the sales professionals, because this process and the sales time is so abbreviated, it's really important that the sales professionals had a steady flow of materials and membership packets. So the situation was we had a number of sales professionals, and that number was growing to a point where it was becoming almost unmanageable for the internal marketing department that we were working with. They had the products, and they had their printer print them, and their printer was storing them, but how did we get them to them, and how did we make sure that one sales person didn't order 500 of the 1,000 packets that had been created? It was quite an undertaking. So they needed to be able to have a steady flow, but they also needed to be able to manage how many packets and materials that were available and orderable by each professional. The marketing department also needed a way to assure that they always maintained minimum levels of these products, while they also assured that their brand was consistent. So we hooked in let me go on to the solution that we brought to the table first before I start talking about that solution. So what we did was we identified that this company actually needed a storefront or web-to-print application that would serve two very specific internal processes. They had their marketing department, who wanted to manage brand rules and marketing materials and manage inventory balances, and then we had the sales department, who needed to be able to put their hands on the materials when they needed them in a timely fashion, and they needed to also be able to manage what the salespeople were ordering and how much they were allowed to spend on those items. So we needed tracking and management so that we could measure as a marketer, I'm all about measuring on the back end for ROI on the materials that we were helping them produce. So what we were able to do was we put in place a storefront with different levels of users. We had administrators, and then we had basic users, and what we added were cost centers that we set up for each salesperson so that they had an allotted budget, and if they needed to go outside of that budget, they were able to send, the system would automatically alert their supervisor to allow them to order more than they needed, because they didn't, while they wanted to track it and manage costs and make sure that the salesperson had the items that they needed, they didn't want to prevent the salesperson from having the product that they needed when they did. So it was one of those things where they wanted to manage it, not so much restrict somebody from having access. So what ended up happening was we got the storefront in place the first year in the nick of time. I think we went live on Halloween. At Halloween, and we had, this was in place and had just been tested maybe a week before. And the result of this process was that the marketing department was able to maintain appropriate levels of materials without obsolescence. In previous years, we had thrown away, I can't even tell you, bins and bins. The products were, after we pulled them off the shelf, they were shredded, and I can tell you they're huge bales of waste that had to be thrown away, and that we wanted to really avoid that. So that was one of the main focuses for going to a storefront application for them. But we were able to maintain appropriate levels. We had some obsolescence, but it was manageable, and it was within a tolerance level that made sense. We were also able to manage the inventory items when they reached minimum levels. And here, the nice thing about this system was we tie into a number of different providers or partners. I don't like the word vendor, but they had partners who would produce the pieces and store them. So we were able to keep track of the warehouse levels among the partners that our customer, this insurance company, was working with. So when the levels got to minimum levels, the system would kick off reorders and notifications, and reorders were able to be placed in a timely fashion that allowed the marketing department to not have to deal with rush print orders. Also, we were able to move many of the products to providers who could provide digital printing so that they were, you know, real time rather than something that somebody would pull off the shelf and kit. Another result was the sales professionals had their sales kits and membership packets when they needed them, and that was really important. The year before that we implemented, they had sales professionals who were trying to – it's a very competitive marketplace, the CMS insurance for direct pay, and they were losing customers to competitors who would show up and have the materials available. The sales department – projected the addition that year of 15,000 new members, and actual sales exceeded expectation, and they added 26,000 new insurance members that year. So we felt like them having the materials when they needed it, were able to track and manage the products in a timely fashion, all contributed to their success in the sales from the sales side.
Hey, April, I do have a question for you. A lot of the challenge on these, what I'll categorize as supply chain management initiative, is educating the end users. Was there anything unique you did to get the salespeople to use the system properly?
You know, that's a really great question. We had two training sessions. One we did on-site. So for any of the salespeople who were able to make it, we tried to align it with their other sales trainings so that we would have most of them in front of a computer in front of us. We had them on-site in training. And then we also did online training at this time. Now, I think we implemented this company in 2008. So, yeah, we did a webinar training, and then they were able to pick up the phone and call us at any time if they had a problem. But surprisingly, the system, we set it up so that it was easy to use. Some systems are have a lot of drill-ins and they're difficult, but we set this up so it would be easy for the salesperson to use, and they were able to get in and order their products. Now, on the administrative side, there was a training curve there, and I think we spent probably the first 2 months of this process supporting them with extensive support. And I know we talked earlier about what does this look like from a administrative side. I can tell you our company, we had seven programmers. We had four application developers and three database administrators who were helping us support the customer and implementing tools as they needed them and reports and things of that sort. But we had that IT department available to the customer, and we also had two dedicated customer service reps who were power users so that they could answer the tough questions quickly. So the support and the training were definitely a challenge at the beginning.
Great. Thanks, April.
The second case I'd like to talk to you about is actually, I mentioned earlier that we offer this solution to our partners, the print partners that my customers use and that we've used in the past. And this case is from one of our clients. Our client is a small printer, but they have a very specialized niche in the hospitality arena, and they have over 400 hotel customers nationwide. They work with some large chains and some smaller chains. I know that they have many of the they work closely with a lot of the DoubleTree hotels, and what apparently the way that many of these hotel chains work, and I wish I had had my client here to speak to this, but they have a corporate level for the managing their marketing and materials, and then they have their local levels. And one of the challenges that my client faces is dealing with all of the different people who have to order different materials for any given hotel. So my client came to me and because they wanted to bring additional value to his or her customer, because they wanted, of course, and most of us know that web to print just is, it helps with the ease of ordering. But they also wanted to decrease rush orders, because what ended up happening was their customers would inevitably be out of door hangers or out of, you know, their brochures or things that they had to have, and they would call and say, okay, I just handed out my last one. I need X number more. And so what happened was my client was constantly rushing orders and losing money in the process. I mean, they were passing that charge on to their customers, but they didn't want to put themselves, it's such a competitive market, they didn't want to put themselves in a position where they were going to eliminate them, you know, lose their customers to a competitor because they weren't able to stay competitive for pricing. So, and finally, they wanted to not have obsolescence. One problem among one specific chain was they had changes that they would make on a fairly regular basis to their menu. And in doing that, they wanted to decrease having to throw things away. So what we did was we put in place, let me quickly finish up this case. They put in place a solution where they had a storefront that contained their materials. They had automated triggers to alert the managers of each of the hotels to their minimum levels. And they were able to move many of these items to just-in-time print for on-demand items that could be quickly produced digitally when they were ordered, so they wouldn't have the rush times. And the result of this is our customer has been able to align his customer's price focus on cost savings, and their customers are no longer bidding out their work. So they've seen a major decrease in losing customers to somebody else. They've also been able to reduce their costs through minimizing waste and eliminating rush pricing without gouging my client's profit margins. I know that's maybe a little confusing, but so in these two cases, are I think prime examples of how you can manage the supply chain while bringing an added value as a solution to your customers.
That's great insight, April. I have a couple of quick questions, and I'm going to direct this first one to April. April, one of the things that someone asked is What are the implications on the pre-press side? In other words, when I get my storefront up and running, do I then mitigate utilization of the need for pre-press because I've, in essence, locked down those templates?
Yeah, for sure. From our perspective, we set up our system that everything's locked down and all the presses that items will run on have been predefined so that the partners we use get press-ready artwork. And it comes to them, it's ready to go on, it's already been approved. So I think that it for sure it does cut down on that pre-press time.
Okay. And this is a question for Chris. Chris, when you take a look at your business model, where April really kind of has herself quasi-positioned as having that agency expertise, do you have some ad agency type skills in-house at Globalsoft?
Yeah, so first let me just piggyback real quick on your last question. I think that if you don't cut the pre-press integration out in any kind of marketing chain supply, you really have done yourself an injustice, and you may have priced yourself out. The concept is to bridge the gap from the web portal directly into the press via Hotfuller or some other way. But to answer your question, yes. So we've dissected our traditional pre-press area into three buckets, what we call page development, one which is the variable integration for one-off programs, traditional pre-press, which is fix this, change that, adjust color, do this and that. And the third is web development, and then we've just recently added a fourth. So you need your typical creative that is both versed in, the creative side as well as the delivery side, but also for HTML output or any other electronic output that you might have and pre-press. So to answer the question directly, you do need a little more beef on the pre-media side because you are a consultant, but there's a big difference between creative and conceptual, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Chris. And April, one other quick question. You did, you mentioned a couple cases, you have the two case studies in here. Could you articulate for both of them the return on investment associated with them?
Did you map
that into ROI is, I guess, what I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's a really good question. On the case that we actually worked with our marketing partner on, we did not go back and measure that as a way to validate the cost upfront costs, but they were so thrilled with the addition of the membership on the back end that we didn't feel like that was an important process. Now, for my customers, we work with them closely on a regular basis to make sure that the cost that what they're spending on this tool makes sense. And we're able to we have found that managing obsolescence and increased orders through the storefront has been able to increase my clients' profits by 30% on an average.
Okay, and I'm going to ask Chris the same. Chris, have you done, there's discussion on measurement. Have you got any, April's saying I can save them 30% basically, and I'm assuming that, April, you keep some of that savings for yourself. I'm saying that from a systems management perspective. But, Chris, how about in your case? Have you tracked the actual percent savings?
Yeah, we have, and there's two ways you do that. The first is through the process engagement and the enhancement of doing that. And it's not too difficult to throw in other parameters like less obsolescence, quicker time to market, and all of those wonderful things. So we've been as high as 63%, and we've been as low as 15 or 14%. But what we also have to do, and, when you talk about marketing supply chain management, is you're going to have to also look at ROI areas that are not only improved by the process. For example, for us, some of the financial institutions, we actually did a study on what compliance lawsuits and how much that cost their organization because they distributed material that was outdated or out of compliance. So you throw in all of those parameters. How many more customers do they pick up? We had about a 14% bump in one electronics channel distributor because all of a sudden he was offering marketed materials that were managed by budgets and subsidized by that company. So, the spectrum is pretty broad, and it all depends on what you offer, but you also have to look at other areas that are not just traditional to print.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Well, sure. I'm going to wrap up with just a couple of quick thoughts here. And the first one is that I think, in a challenging economy, marketers, you know, we're under the gun. And the concept of you helping them do a better job at managing their marketing supply chains is important. Even though the economy has, in essence, done an uptick, they're still under tremendous scrutiny. And so you've got the ability to help them save money, get rid of headaches, and basically what you've got is, you know, avoiding overproduction, reducing administrative overhead, reducing inventory, reducing the number of hands that touch collateral, eliminating obsolescence. And so the benefits are significant. So if I were going to sit down and say, what would I do if I haven't done anything yet? Get started, get going, and do it now. You don't want to sell web to print. And Chris touched on this. What you really want to do is a web to print's a tool. What you're selling is the value associated with optimizing somebody's marketing supply chain. Absolutely. You've got to help clients, and Chris talked about doing a consultative study up front. You've got to help them evaluate what's used, what's wasted, and where those pockets of waste are. You want to identify the right process, people, partners that can help you take your clients where they need to be, can help you web-enable marketing materials, access, track the utilization, provide feedback on usage, and then support spending reallocation to more cost-effective techniques. You're going to have to ensure that self-service functions that are easy to use are in place. And while we didn't necessarily track and measure everything, you do want to get the customers in a mode where they're measuring and tracking, and you're working with them on communicating the results. So I'll kind of leave you with where I started, which is a thought from Peter Drucker. And what Drucker said is management is doing things right. Leadership is doing the right things. And so my simple message to you is, if you sit down and you work with your clients on marketing supply chain optimization, then what you're going to have is you're going to be helping your customers do the right things. So with that, I'm going to take a second to just say thanks a bunch to both April and Chris, and I want to thank all of you for your participation. Have a great rest of the day.